In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, very warm welcome on this Pentecost Sunday. In October, my wife and I went on a trip to the UK. And before I had gone, I was talking to a colleague of mine, a former colleague of mine in New Jersey, who had mentioned that the Anglican Communion office in London had a guest house, and the clergy could stay there for a fairly reasonable rate. Well, being the cheapskate that I am, I figured I would take them up on it. So after a long day of traveling, we get to London, we find the Anglican Communion office, we check in, and my wife Kristen says she's gonna take a nap. I wasn't really very tired, so I said, oh, there's a convenience store about a block away. I'll walk over, get a water or a soft drink or something. So I go back downstairs through the lobby of the office, and I hear a distinctive sound. And for clergy, this is a very distinctive sound that we are all familiar with. In fact, many church people recognize it. It is the sound of preaching. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to know what's being said if you can just hear that cadence of preaching kind of in the background. So I knew there was something going on, so I kind of decided, well, Kristen's napping. I'll go down this hallway, follow the voice, and then turn to the left, and I find this little chapel. Now, being the Episcopalian that I was, I sat in the back row. I grabbed a book, and I figured, well, you know, we're the same church, we're the same communion, but it's a different province. This is the Church of England. I better pay attention just in case some of the words are different. So I have my book, and I'm following along really closely. Every line, you know, and it's pretty much running exactly the same as I'm used to it. Now, the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. I'm just, you know, it's all exactly the same. I thought, well, I better pay attention. After communion, the post-communion prayer, all the words are exactly the same. I know them. And I figure at this point, all right, close my book, set it aside. The priest gives a dismissal from the back, and I gleefully, with my full heart, said, thanks be to God. And that wasn't the response. But outside of that, there was something really amazing about that moment in this chapel. Yes, that amazing. I looked around the room. There were only about 20 people in this little chapel. The priest who was celebrating at the altar was from Kenya. The priest assisting him was from the Church of England. Looking around the room, you had a Nigerian bishop, a couple other people from Africa, Latin America, other places in Europe, and one North American sitting in the back. And I thought for just a moment, I am seeing that Pentecost moment happening right here. People from all over the world gathered into one place. And I thought, this right here is the church. Now, there's a funny thing about that Pentecost story that we heard in our first reading today. This Pentecost story is the second chapter of the book of Acts. And it happens right after Jesus ascends to heaven in that first chapter, and the disciples are left on their own. But here in this moment is the culmination of all of Jesus' teachings and works in that upper room. Now, if you think about through the life of Jesus, many of Jesus' miracles involved both Judeans, the Jews, and non-Judeans, the Gentiles. And yet, many of the people around Jesus only saw salvation for their own people. And here is a powerful moment. A moment when the Holy Spirit shows up and creates the church, the assembly of all who are gathered there. All those different languages, just like we heard when the gospel was read, just like today we heard Greek and Spanish and French and Maori and Italian and a number of other languages. There they were surrounded by people of their own day, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia. That first act of the church, the very first act of the church, was reaching out to those very people that Jesus' contemporaries had rejected. And if you read through the whole book of Acts, it took Jesus' followers years to grasp onto that message. Jesus' own disciples had to learn to reach out to people who were not like them. But it shows us something. And this shows us that the Holy Spirit, from day one, intends for the church to be for all people. This very short lesson we heard from Romans today, and I apologize about the booklet mix-up because that was my mistake. But that very short lesson from Romans we heard today, St. Paul says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. All who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Now today, we will be bringing in a new member of the church. Lincoln, sitting right here in the front row, will be washed of his sins and brought into this body of the faithful. Now, whether he realizes it or not, even at his young age, the Holy Spirit has guided him to be a part of this crazy group of people. He is stepping into a life of Christ, and he will be with those who pray. He grows into the full stature of Christ. St. Paul goes on in this letter to the Romans to say, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very same Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And this is the really amazing thing about what we are as the church and what we are as followers of Christ. We who are Christians, we are members of Christ's body. We are children of God. And friends, we are heirs of the kingdom. You may not have caught this in the gospel lesson over all the voices, but in the gospel lesson, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither knows him nor sees him. You know him because he abides in you, and he will be with you. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be with you. Now, I will admit, sometimes the church is given a bad reputation. There are times when this reputation is well deserved, but there are also times when it's not deserved. The problem is the church often succumbs to human failings because it's full of a bunch of humans. Humans that have human foibles and make human mistakes. And yet, despite all of that, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit abides in us and is with us. The Spirit is that which guides us when we stray. The Spirit brings newness when we get stagnant, and the Spirit challenges us in those times that we are less than charitable. And that same Spirit that was there at the Pentecost so many years ago is still with the church today. That same Spirit is here telling us to open our doors and our hearts even wider. Now, sometimes, just like in that moment in Acts, sometimes for a moment when we are faced with change, it can feel like chaos. It can feel like things are spinning out of control. Sometimes change comes too fast, or sometimes not fast enough. And we find ourselves uncomfortable. Maybe we're uncomfortable with new leadership, new dynamics, new ways. We miss the old ways. Not because they're necessarily better, but because they're comfortable. Like putting on an old shoe that's falling apart. It's comfortable, it just may not work all the time. You know, speaking of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, 1549, the very first Book of Common Prayer was released in English. Do you know what happened in England? They rioted. Because change, it's difficult. But other times, the Spirit slows us down, reins us in, pulls us back, and the Spirit asks us to pause and really think through something. And then what happens? Well, we feel impatient because we live in a culture that's used to instant gratification. I have to have this now. I can look this up now. And then the Spirit says, hold on. Let's think about this. Let's stop and pray a bit. And whether it is that the Spirit is pushing us forward or telling us to discern a little bit, all of these times it is the same Spirit who is moving us, challenging us, and guiding us. And when we do feel chaotic or out of control, that's when we need a Saint Peter. A Saint Peter to give us perspective. Remember this line in the gospel, in the reading from Acts? Things feel chaotic. Everybody's speaking different languages, and they say, oh, they must be drunk. And what does Saint Peter say? Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Thanks, Peter. We need someone to say, this is not chaos, as you suppose. It's that the Spirit is just getting the day started. And this is true, friends, whether we are talking about the life of the church or any of our personal faith lives. The Spirit continues to guide us and challenge us to open our hearts. The Spirit challenges us not just to see the church as those who are around us right here and now today, but to see the church as something that is big, broad, and inclusive. To see the church as something that has no walls and no limits to God's grace. This is the body to which we belong, and to which we are bringing this new member today. This is the body that the Spirit created and still moves. And this is who we are. So let us be the church, and let us listen for that voice of the Spirit. Amen.